You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another epic episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob. Thank you for being with us. This is episode 656. Appreciate it. Hope you're having a great week. Getting a lot of flying in.
Welcome to another show. I am back from InterDrone, which there is a lot that I did not even talk about on that InterDrone podcast. And we have been flying and modeling more stadiums. We're breaking into the NCAA realm. And it has been really challenging, Rob.
Well, anytime you push the envelope, of technology and of the solutions that are out there,
which we've been
trying
testing.
To do, mm-hmm. It's going to be challenging.
Hey, you know what though? The fact that we got 0.03 inches of accuracy on our models makes me happy and tells me it's all worth it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was. But I sent you that picture, right?
Yeah, you did send me that picture, and it's incredible.
Which is funny because our client did the measurement, and then we were out there and did a laser scan just to see, you know, what the actual measurement was. And to see that accuracy was just phenomenal, like really phenomenal.
Yeah, and that's all from using
Phantom 4 Pro.
Love it.
Is that not the most valuable drone on the market right now?
So I was going to say, for everybody that has had questions over the years and probably the questions to come about what drone should I buy to start my business? Man, you've done a lot with that Phantom 4 Pro.
Seriously. Yeah, but yeah, I'm really excited though.
It's not
for
perfect, but
it is not perfect, no, but I'm really excited to test the unique drone. I mean, I know PJ, one of our students, stayed a couple extra days at InterDrone just to give it a shot and fly it. And I think that's awesome. I wish I had the chance to stay longer, but it has been job, film class, job. So
it's not slowing down.
Not at all. No. In fact,
take a deep breath, but that's about all you get.
I just need some good sleep, Rob. You know what? Everyone is going to get amazing value out of our new certified level membership when it is ready to go. We've got a lot coming down the pipe. Did you get a new phone?
I did.
Oh my gosh. What did you get?
I got the Note 8.
You spent $1,000 on a phone.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, I won't feel bad about buying the iPhone X then.
I mean, you're going to put it that way.
I was wondering, I came into your office and your cell phone was on the desk and I'm like, did he forget his phone? Like, what's going on?
Nope. Got a new phone. I'm pretty good about phones though. I keep them for like 3 years.
Oh, this thing's this is like an iPad in your pocket.
It's pretty sweet.
I like it.
It actually doesn't feel big at all.
That's what she said.
Oh, gosh. As I'm saying that, I'm thinking I can't stop. And here it comes. I was just teeing it up for you.
Oh, yeah. No,
you're
were.
Welcome.
Well, before we get too far in teeing things up for each other, let's talk about one of our sponsors today. Have you guys ever taken on a project and had to charge less money because your competition was just trying to undercut you, and you're wondering, how can you maintain the quality and the value that you normally provide to clients? Well, if you're wondering how, think about utilizing stock footage. Now, the stock footage that you may want to use is obviously going to have to match whatever you shot, but you can also be flexible and creative. Get up-close shots, showcase sunrises and sunsets in very up-close shots towards your subject. Like for me, one time I needed some stock footage for a horse shoot I was doing. Yes, a horse shoot. And honestly, thanks to videoblocks.com, that's VideoBlocks.com for Kyle Bowman out there.
/drone.
So videoblocks.com/drone. And take the opportunity to get a discount on VideoBlocks and audioblocks.com, which is millions and millions of stock clips and music that you can use that are all copyright free. So whether you want to use them for business or for pleasure, they are for your use. Check out videoblocks.com/drone. And we actually have some new sponsors that we're going to be talking about this week. I just got our affiliate account set up with Colorado Drone Chargers. Very excited about that.
Yeah, they're doing some cool stuff.
I have been using their products to an astronomical level. And they're one of the few people I really, really, really love and support. They're like the GPC of the charging industry.
Which is saying a lot, because we've seen quite a few chargers come through our office that you've tried.
Yeah, and they are bulletproof, literally and physically.
Yeah, right.
So figuratively, literally, and yes, you can shoot a bullet into the charger and it will be stopped.
If you're so inclined.
Hey, why don't we try that? You got a 22?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, perfect. Then let's go.
Sweet. All right.
Anyway, let's hop into today's question.
Hey, guys. This is Corey from San Antonio, Texas. I'm a proud DroneU member, and I really feel that the content of your site has really helped me from making some of these mistakes that I would have no doubt made. So I do appreciate what you guys do. My question is, do you have any hints or tips and tricks on how to really make your color pop for your photos and your videos? I really appreciate any insight you guys could give me. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Corey. Thank you for being a member. Thank you for your question. Makes me think of HDTV. How do I make the color pop?
You know, it's funny. One of my buddies was talking about the new iPhone, and he's like, you can shoot HDR video on your phone. And I'm like, yeah, but dude, the sensor is so small. Like, is it really that valuable, you know?
So can you just talk about the importance of that, since you bring that up, the size of the sensor?
Okay, well, people have to understand that the size of the sensor is going to limit the amount of light per pixel that you're going to acquire. So the bigger the sensor, essentially more dynamic range, or more from super bright light to super dark light can you show in one image. So when we're talking about these little sensors now, we were going from an 8-megapixel sensor in this iPhone 6S, which I really don't want to get rid of because I love and it does everything I need it to do, to the iPhone X or the iPhone 8, which is a 12-megapixel sensor. And the thing is when that sensor is so small, they're using computational analysis to actually try to put more pixels on that sensor. So just because you're going from an 8-megapixel camera to a 12-megapixel camera, it just means that the pixels are smaller and that you're getting less detail in each individual pixel. I give the example of, for example, the Sony RX100, it's that 1-inch sensor. And by the way, I made a mistake. I said, and thank you, John Elliott, for letting me know this, I said the Phantom 4 Pro was an APS-C sensor. It is not. It is a 1-inch sensor. And this is actually a great thing to talk about, because that 1-inch sensor says it's a 20-megapixel sensor, right? But the APS-C sensor, which is the same sensor that's in a Sony A6000, it's in a Sony A6300, it's in a Sony A6500, it's still a 20-megapixel sensor if you're shooting JPEG. If you're shooting RAW, you can get 24 megapixels out of it. But if we take the 1-inch sensor that says it's 20 megapixels versus the APS-C sensor, which is even bigger than a Micro Four Thirds sensor, and that's 20 megapixels, you're going to get a lot more detail per pixel on the larger sensor. So on the 1-inch sensor, your pixels are going to be smaller, you're going to have less detail, but more importantly, less light per pixel. So that's why on the bigger sensor, when we've got bigger pixels and more light can go into each pixel, we're getting just a lot better detail. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, that definitely makes sense, and that helps. But the bottom line is the bigger sensor, the better. I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
Oh, yeah. But I will say in mapping, that is not always the case. Because, for example, on the Inspire 2 X5S, you have a Micro Four Thirds sensor, which is bigger than the 1-inch sensor. But a lot of people are having focus issues in mapping, so they don't even use it. So bigger is not always better.
Gotcha. Of course, your objective with mapping is completely different.
Totally.
You're not looking for that dynamic range.
No, but I am looking for more detail per pixel. So, that's why I think, I've really been digging into that solo. That there's one solo that you can buy, which we have one, the old one with the GoPro, and now they're $300. There's the new solo, though, with the R10C camera that is actually an APS-C sensor from Sony. And it's funny because I actually got some photos from 3DR. To look at the photos themselves, and you can actually see pixel density in the difference between the P4P and that solo. Now, I haven't flown it, and I'm not willing to talk about whether it's better or not, but they have totally changed the inner workings of that new solo. So now they're using a Linux-based board. Now they're using a PixHawk 2 with GLONASS. So before, it did not have GLONASS, and if you had the old solo, you know that, the GPS wasn't that accurate. They fixed that. They've got redundancy now on GPS, which I think is really cool. And, when it even comes to, let's say, the unique, right? So here's another thing that you guys should be thinking about. The unique sensor, the E90 on the H520 drone, that sensor is an Exmor 2 sensor versus an Exmor 1 sensor that's in the Phantom 4 Pro. So what does that mean? Well, when we were working with Unique at InterDrone, I found out two very interesting things. The ISO, if you're using DataMapper, is not, I wouldn't say it's unlimited, but you have a lot more control of it. And also you have a lot bigger area that's useful on the sensor. So instead of shooting 4K at 3860 by whatever it is, you're shooting the full 4100 pixels across. So you're getting 300 more active pixels just across.
And in mapping, that detail is critical.
Oh yeah.
Or in modeling or whatever you want to call it, that detail sort of brings that model to life. That's what makes it happen.
Which is why, again, I'm very excited to test out both the H520 and the new Solo. I think that for mapping and for government operations and for operations over critical infrastructure, here's another thing. One of those two drones that I mentioned does not have geofencing. No, there are no no-fly zones. So if you have the authorization, you have the permission. You don't have to ask permission.
Which is the way it should be.
I agree 100%.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I talked to Patrick Egan from SUAS News in the car yesterday, and we were talking about that too, and he tweets about it all the time, calling it ChiComs or Chinese communications from your drone back home to China. So.
ChiComs.
Isn't that great for Twitter?
It's great, but it's bad. It's in terms of the possibilities or the potential realities.
Yeah.
I think that's all really, really useful information. How do we move that into ColourPop?
Yeah, sorry. Great question. And sorry that we went down that rabbit hole. But the more rabbit holes that I can go down and provide answers for you guys, I feel like the better we can be for you. Which, by the way, guys, please leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you download podcasts. We're over three figures on iTunes, and I would just love to see that go up more so more people can find this show and we can have more educated, responsible pilots. But going back to it, you know, I recently heard a talk by a very famous cinematographer, one that I've even worked with, and he was actually talking about a time that we flew together, and he's like, one thing that, you know, this pilot, and he was talking about me, says is I will never not fly during the day without, I know, double negative, without a ND16 filter on there. So that is very true. In fact, I posted a video in our Drone U community group and then the critique group showcasing to people some stuff that I had shot up north. And they're like, man, that color grading is perfect. And I said, well, did I color grade it?
There was no color.
There was no color grading. Essentially, I shot in. So there's you guys know on DJI, there's many different settings or camera profiles that you can use. And I used none. Literally the one that's labeled N-O-N-E.
So. Yeah, I don't use any of
those. Yeah, the one that says N-O-N-E. And I put the Polar Pro ND16 filter on there. It's the Cine Series ND16, not the there's a couple different series of filters. But now Polar Pro has an application that you can actually measure the light and it tells you the best filter to use. But in all honesty, and going back to that story about that cinematographer, he's like, the key to good color in any drone is just using an ND filter because it slows down your shutter speed and it gives you that color. And, you know, everyone talks like, here's the thing with video, there are just so many styles. There's so many differences and opinions on what to shoot. And you'll get some guys that will just die on this hill and they will say they never shoot anything but D-Log. That's great. But for us, we have way too much going on to spend that kind of time to put the color back in the file once we've already shot it. And I feel like we have figured out ways to put color into the file as we're shooting, aka the ND16 filter, so that we don't have to spend the time color grading, that our color looks much better. Now, you are going to have issues sometimes if you're in heavily shadowed areas. So if you are in heavily shadowed areas, once again, I think it's good to use the Polar Pro app or any app that really measures light for you. They even have something on Amazon, and I forget exactly what it's called. It measures light, tells you the aperture you should be using. tells you your shutter speed and ISO. And one thing I will tell people is, you know, guys, be really careful when you're adjusting your aperture on the birds, because, you know, if you don't understand how aperture works, essentially the lower the aperture, the wider the aperture, the lower the number, essentially more light comes into the camera, but that also means infinite focus. So if you're a drone pilot used to shooting on the P3 or the Inspire 1 or the P2 or the old Uniques, and you had like infinite focus where everything in your shot was in focus, you're going to be shooting at like f2.8 or f3.2. But I really think that sometimes when you're out there shooting, you can get much better stuff at f8 or f11, especially if it's really, really bright outside. So, again, I think that if you are new to videography and photography, you should really learn the basics of that. There is, Vic's class really explains that to a T, and he is much better at it than I am. And I would say that photography is not my strength. Videography is my strength. And I would say that I really kind of fly based off of the experience of what's worked with the productions that I've worked with.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, there's a learning curve that is sort of always upward in many senses, because you're always trying to get better and the technology is always changing. So basically what I hear you saying to the question is that filters are an essential part of it.
Yes. Especially if you're shooting during the day.
Which most folks are, right? That's generally when people are going to be flying. So they would be considered a necessity. And you mentioned the ND16. Are there others that you would consider important to have? Like, or what are the most common ones that are used, and maybe why?
Well, there are a lot of other filters. There's SRP filters. The DJI has their own filters. And, Peter would die on a cross to say, use the DJI filters for the Mavic because it doesn't screw up the gimbal. But I've had the ND16 on my Mavic for quite some time now from Polar Pro, and I haven't caused any damage whatsoever. So, but if you don't have the filter on there perfectly, it will cause damage just straight up. So, I think honestly, Rob, if you're down in Lake Havasu where it's 109 degrees, or you're in Phoenix where it's 109 degrees, and you're flying over water, you may want to use the ND32. But one thing I would say is when it gets closer to golden hour, I think you're better off not using a filter.
Okay.
Letting all that light in, capture what you need to. And, I think that's...
Let me ask you this. We talked about some stuff that didn't have any color grading, but some of your more, I don't know what the word to use is, prolific images that I've seen, they're really cool. I don't have an example obviously to talk about right now, but the color is just, it like pops off the page. So how much with something like that is the post doing?
I'm telling you, like, very little.
Really?
There are LUTs that you can use. There are color plugins that you can use. I think color, I forget the name of it, but you can do a little bit of tweaking, but there's just such a fine line of being oversaturated. And I think that's,
totally.
I think that's the beauty that I've locked in, is like, it's not oversaturated. It looks natural to the eye.
And that is a very fine line.
It is.
I mean, it's almost like you want to get to the point, or just before the point, where people even say, is that real?
Yeah.
Or like, how much was that, to use common vernacular, photoshopped?
Yeah.
Right. And so if you can say none or very little,
very
it kind of looks like it was,
yeah,
maybe you're kind of hitting this.
So like most of my most famous wake surfing videos that are still played in dealerships all over the country, I actually walked into a dealership in Vegas and voila, there's my video. And in those two videos, there was a little bit of color grading. But again, it just all comes down to filters. I mean, I can't say that enough. Mm-hmm. And even the cinematographer is like, you know, everyone talks about shooting in D-Log or S-Log. He's like, but if you shoot with no color profile and just use a filter, you'll be shocked at what you can get. And like, I agree with him 100%. And I was like, I felt vindicated because this guy's made hundreds of movies and over 50 feature films. And this is what he's telling people. And it's like, yeah.
Figured that out.
I wonder where you learned that from, bud. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. This guy was shooting movies before I was alive. So anyway.
Awesome. Well, Corey, I hope that answers your question. Obviously, if you have follow-up questions, or if Maybe this poses or prompts questions from some of the listeners. Let us know. We can go even deeper just based on the questions that you guys ask. And you can do that at askdroneu.com. Please remember that if you're thinking about something and you have a question about something, so do a lot of other people. Be the one that gets it answered.
You know, I think too, again, if you really love this show and if you think the information is good on this show, something I've heard a lot at InterDrone was, I love the content on your podcast is better than what most other schools have. And I think that's awesome. And if you want to support the podcast, become a member, because if you think the information is good here, the depth of the information goes at least 10 levels deeper inside of the community and inside of the classes. I'm going to leave you with that. Please leave us a review. I would greatly appreciate it. And again, my name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
And this is the Ask DroneU podcast.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the DroneU.